Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Very, very happy that you're with us here today. Joining me are two semi-happy people, but at times very happy people, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton. Hi,
hey.
Guys, how are you?
Great. Well, I'm semi-happy today.
Semi.
Is there anything we can do about that?
Well, you know what? Semi-happy is good, because you can't be at the top, or, you know, we take fluctuations up and down. So I accept semi.
Hmm. You know, it was a long time before I realized that the Bible actually talks about happiness and not simply joy or something like that. But there is this happiness that's addressed in the Bible. And I love the Serenity Prayer, the long version, that says we will be, when we do the steps, we'll be reasonably happy in this life. And then in the other life, of course, going to be pretty special there. Well, we're glad you're with us here today. I want to mention that the thing that's standing between a person going to every man's battle, which we know a lot of people need it, it's called procrastination. And a lot of us are pros in procrastination. That's why they call it procrastination. We procrastinate and we're pros at it. So I want to encourage you, pick up the phone, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You will never, ever be part of every man's battle in a more affordable way. And this is a great opportunity for you and maybe a son to be there together. You'll be in different groups, but you can hear the material together. You can experience it together. It's on Saturday. It's not Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the normal ones. Less time, less money, no travel. Look, if you've listened to this show, and you've never, ever done anything about the sexual integrity issue, I know you know it's a problem. And so why don't you just step out, say to whomever you need to say it, I'm going to this. Do you need to confess anything? No. Just say, I'm going to go. I want to learn how to be a man of better integrity, or I just want to go. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the number to call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And so many people, it just changes everything in the relationship with God, everything in the relationship with the spouse. And here it is, 2 days from today, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to the phones. We'll go right to the phones here, and we're going to, how about Lori? Let's go to Lori calling from Washington, D.C. Lori, how are you today, and how could we help you? Here comes Lori. There she is. Hi, Lori. Oh, Lori.
Hello?
All right. There you are.
There we go. How can we help today?
Are you speaking to me?
I am. Absolutely. No one but you, Lori. Just you.
I'm so sorry, Pastor Steve. Thank you for your patience. You are so patient.
Thank you.
Well, I was wondering if you could talk further about Romans 5, that incredible dynamic about God's love, that, you know, while we're still sinning, he's reconciling us to God.
I'd be happy to do that right after this break. Lori was listening to the previous program we did, and now we're recording this one, where I quoted that scripture that while we were yet sinners, God, Jesus died for us to save us from those sins. It's right out of Romans 5:8. That's the kind of love God has. And, you know, he died long before we were born. So he knew things were going to happen. He covered it with his death on the cross.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Lori about the scripture, Romans 5:8. It reads, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And Lori's asked us to talk about that a little bit, and we will. We'll start with Mylon talking about it. But Lori, why is it that when you heard that verse, you wanted us to talk more about that? What was it that posed the question?
Well, in yesterday's broadcast, you mentioned Chuck Swindoll speaking out to a crowd of people, you know, because he knew that any crowd of people, there's some sinners, and he appealed to the sinners to stop doing what they're doing.
Right.
And also, I think someone in the chat on the other broadcast was mentioning about, you know, that someone was doing something inappropriate on the chat, and another listener chatted, you know, that something alluding to even God even cares about, like, redeeming that person.
Yeah.
That was doing this terrible spam stuff.
Okay.
And so, yeah, like, God loves us even while we're sinning. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that a thing?
Yes, yes. And it's good because we're doing that every day. A lot of people actually think you can reach a level beyond sin. I don't think that's true because I know I've never seen it in anybody, and I kind of think if you think you're beyond sin, then you're sinning with the sin of arrogance. But, Mylon, what are your thoughts here on the concept of God doesn't ever stop loving us, knows we're going to sin, loves us through the sin?
Well, Lori, I love your attention and focus on this scripture. And I would have to say we have to think of, and I've been listening to everything you said, we have to think of this in two ways. One is the event of the cross. God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, that was a point in time. His death on the cross is complete, ultimate, and final. And Hebrews 10:10 says that it was utterly complete and final for all time for everybody, that death, to forgive us if we choose to believe that he died for us. He didn't just cover everybody and just create this blanket covering. It only applies to a person if they embrace the truth of the cross. So that's thought number one. Thought number two is a concept of sanctification. When we are born again, we're a baby. We're a child in the faith. We're little. We don't know much. And the Bible tells us to grow up until we begin to more resemble Jesus Christ. So you're absolutely right. Somebody who is spamming or trying to create confusion or potentially even obscene, doing unsavory things, they need to embrace, well, do I need ultimately to have my sin forgiven? And number two, ongoing, I need to learn to tame the flesh and the sinful nature inside of me. And Steve's right. We'll never get to a final place on this earth. But that is then the next topic. How do we grow in Christ? And unfortunately, not a lot of people talk about that these days. Sanctification is not a really a popular topic. How do you go from baby to child to young man to father in the faith, which the Bible talks about in the New Testament?
Right. So, we have this free will. We're not robots. And we can choose or we cannot choose. There's a big choice to when we realize I cannot ever be a good enough human being to, quote unquote, earn my way to heaven. But since there's justice in this world and a penalty must be paid for sin, Jesus paid the price, that penalty. I accept that as the penalty, that he did it for me as a sinner. Now, that, if I believe that, that they like the scripture tells us, Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Well, I'm going to go to the Father through Jesus and my belief in what he did for me on the cross and his resurrection. Now, there's another issue. Whether I'm a dedicated Christian or I'm not a dedicated Christian. And whatever, wherever I am, I really believe that Jesus loves me, God loves me. There is a calling on my life, just like for everyone. It's not just missionaries that have a calling or something like that. Everybody has a purpose and a calling. And the Lord is bringing us, or tries to attract us back to himself. He is reaching for us all the time. And in fact, he says, if you search for me, I will be found by you. And so I believe that in the midst of all this, I might be going to heaven, but I might be living a life just as far away from heaven as ever. And no matter where I'm living, that love does not change. That love is still there, even though I'm not living as if I even believe that it's there, or I feel it or experience it. And so the more we can do to live the life that Jesus lived, to follow that path, the more we're going to experience that love. And then as we receive love, we're able to share the love that we receive. And what an amazing thing when people come to Christ because they meet someone that is so loving and kind and gentle and knowledgeable that they say, I want to know what you know. I want to be what you are. I want to be part of this. That's how people who come to Christ come to Christ, when someone else is exemplifying Jesus. So we get back to this verse, while we were yet sinners. No matter what level of sin you're at today, you are loved and there's a place for you. There's a calling for you. The question is, what are you going to do about it? Continue to live like you are or not? And one of my favorite Jewish proverbs is, the choice to do nothing today is the most accurate predictor of tomorrow. And it is. So not choosing is a choice that's going to impact your tomorrow. And if it's every man's battle that you need to choose, I just encourage you, while you're yet a sinner, respond to the love of God that had you listen to this and call and become part of that. Lori, I'm so glad that you called, and just to thank you for calling, I'm going to send you one of the Bibles that I put together, the Restoration Bible. That is on its way to you. All right, let's go to Megan from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Megan. How are you today?
Hello. How are y'all? Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help?
So Steve, you and I have a couple things in common, but I'm going to ask my question and give you tips to read.
All right. Now, it's real noisy. It's noisy on your phone. I don't know why, but if you can go to one place. And, okay. All right. So what's the question today?
Finally having a solid relationship with you, the term that you use, bonus child. Mm-hmm. That's my question.
Okay.
So the background is, I was a single parent until my child was an adult. I met my husband, and I have a wonderful husband. So when I met my husband, he was also a single dad. So my child was an adult when we met and got mm-hmm. married, but his child was still under the age of 18. Now, I'll say in the beginning, things were well between us. I mean, she's a really sweet child, but she's never really opened up to me because mm-hmm. she craves the love and attention from her biological mom, who lives in another state, and there's no relationship between them. And again, in the beginning, it was good. But then I'll say, since the pandemic and also me going through this, the next stage, the change in life, it's real distant between us, very distant. That, you know, being transparent, I am looking forward to us, you know, everybody is gone from the nest. Okay. I am so looking forward to that. But there's still a little time with her.
So. All right. So tell us how you, because if we're going to help you, we need to know this. How did you contribute to the distance that you're experiencing with her?
I don't push. Where my child is open, more open, talkative, his child shuts down a lot. She doesn't share. She kind of keeps everything on the inside. And again, she craves the love of her biological mom. And, I mean, things are, we conversate. We've never had an issue like tension or blowing up or whatever, but you could just see the distance between us. I kind of keep it short and simple.
Okay.
With her.
So, Megan, how does that distance make you feel? She's... You're telling me that with your son, you have a vulnerable, open, transparent relationship, but she's shutting you out. And how does that make you feel to be shut out by her? Give me feeling mm-hmm. words, not thoughts. What do you feel?
Okay. I'm not going to really say that it bothers me, but as being a believer and a woman of God, I feel convicted. I feel like that's not the relationship that God desires for the both of us.
So how does it...
So
what you're telling me are thoughts and theological concepts. What does it make you feel mm-hmm. when she closes you out? Does it make you sad? Does it make you...
Not sad. I guess my feeling would be just kind of wonder. I used to wonder a lot why she doesn't share.
Okay.
Why isn't she open?
Okay, well, I would encourage you after this call to think about what her distance makes you feel. And to get a collection of words, a soul word list, a feeling words, and ask yourself, because that's one separate issue, what her rejection makes you feel. But let's go back and say what you're wishing is very good, that we would have something that would be of higher quality. But this girl's been through a lot, Megan. She's been through a divorce. I bet she shut down and doesn't open up to her dad.
She doesn't.
Right.
I will say this, Mylan, in the beginning, when she had issues going on in school or with her friends, there were a few times that she did talk to me before she talked to her father.
Sure. Now, how old was she then, Megan?
Preteen.
Okay. So then you also have this thing going on called what happens to the teenager when they hit their teens and their whole brain goes on a construction project and they're not easy. So, but when you say as a Christian woman, it should be this. And I'm saying, but you must consider the trauma of the child, and that is going to affect. She wasn't raised with you like you were with your adult son. Alice, what would you add to this?
Megan, I would guess that your stepdaughter, we know she's experienced maternal abandonment,
mm-hmm.
and that probably has formed a belief mm-hmm. in her that something's wrong with me. People don't want me. My own mm-hmm. mother is not pursuing me, her biological right. mother. And I want you to wonder if you've been overly cautious in not pushing in more with her. Although as a step-parent, you have to be cautious. But she may have a belief that I am not wanted, I'm not lovable, I'm not approachable. So I want you to consider attempting to push in more to see what happens with your stepdaughter. And we'll give you some words and how to go about doing that on the other side of the commercial break.
All right. We will do that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. If you want some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Some of you are still procrastinating. You need to call about every man's battle.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and Alice, you wanted to say a few more things here to Megan before we go.
I wonder, Megan, how your daughter would respond if you let her know. I feel like the time is running out between the two of us, and I'd love to get a sense of how, daughter, you think things are going in our relationship and whether or not you'd want to be closer, whether or not you'd want to talk more and do more with me. So I want to come up, brainstorm some ideas of whether or not you'd like to and how we might go about deepening our relationship. But Megan, you of course have to check, can you genuinely do that? As I know you're also struggling with, you want the nest to be emptied. And so if that's a strong feeling you have, your stepdaughter might experience a little bit of that from you, even though you're not saying it.
Yeah,
and I agree, Alice. I really do. I agree. Yes.
The other thing is,
I'm pretty sure she feels it, yeah.
One little point, Alice, I'd be concerned that if she asks the daughter if she wants to spend more time with her, it might kind of put her on the spot. And if she, you know, so maybe she just needs to say, I want to spend more time with you, would you be willing? Might, I don't know, just, I don't want her to have to say no, I don't want to spend more time with you.
That's a good adjustment and wording.
Okay, now thank you for calling. I hope that's helpful to you, but here's what I know. Persistence, perseverance, never giving up, constant, appropriate pursuit is really good advice for somebody who wants somebody else to be in relationship with them. Guys do this all the time with a girlfriend that's distant, but finally, okay, you win. I just would be very generous with notes of encouragement, texts of encouragement, phone calls just to say hello versus a one-time message to her. I would really start to be consistent in my different forms of contact and attempts to connect with her. That's just a thought for you.
And it's so understandable to want to be in relationship, but also to be a little bit repelled by relationship with any of our family members. And I find that when we bring that confession to God and to a trusted peer of I want to, but something's holding me back, God will do the heart change work in us as we bring that into the light of relationship.
You know, it's well documented, and I experienced this 4 times, that my sweet little 10-year-old, 11 and 12-year-old, then all of a sudden hormones hit, either male or female hormones. And all of my teenagers began to diverge from us as parents to develop their own sense of self. And it got even worse when they had a car key. I mean, they just diverge. And then as adults, they reconverge back toward mom and dad. So there's a natural divergence that happens in the teenage years.
Yeah, and you want to be sure you're not standing in the way of that divergence, because that's the other side of it.
But to what you guys both said, there has to be boundaries and there has to be control and structure over that.
Yeah.
But both of you said that. But that's just a natural part of the adolescence. Now, if you add trauma on top of that, it just exacerbates that. So we have to keep that in mind.
All right. I'm going to send you Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. I think there'll be some great things in there for you. I hope so. Let's go talk to Bill, all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio. Bill, how are you today? Are you there, Bill? I don't think Bill's there.
Wait a minute.
I'm here.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm glad I got it.
How you doing?
Great.
Good. Any flooding in your area there in Ohio?
No. Cincinnati is great.
Good. Okay. Well, how can we help you today?
I'm just being flooded personally.
Okay. What's going on?
I talked to you guys 20-some years ago about this same situation I'm talking about right now. And not with all the detail, but I grew up from 8 or 9 years old with my older brother's pornography for probably till I left home at 18 or 19, and before I was saved. So that went into all my female relationships.
Yeah.
Even after I got saved.
Yeah.
And then it went into marriage, and I had 3 affairs. And so my wife fell into a depression. She started taking all the meds, Prozac and Zoloft and all that, and it altered her until it affects her, finally killed her when she overdosed.
Oh, that's too, I'm so sad about that.
She had overdosed 3 times before that on her other meds, but they said she had swallowed a whole bottle of Effexor.
Mm.
And that was in 2010. And the year before that, she shot herself at the local gun store range in the parking lot in her van and survived, of course, and no major injuries, you know,
well,
physically.
What are you dealing with today?
Well, so now, you know, our 3 daughters blamed me for her death. And now my youngest daughter is reaching out to me and wanting to talk on the phone or meet in person, you know, but with a therapist. And I just don't know how to handle it.
Okay. Well, we're going to help you with that. You hear the music. We'll do it right after this break. You're listening to New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Want to join us for Every Man's Battle this weekend? Be happy for you to do that. It's less than half as normal. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. So we're talking with Bill, and he's, well, the question now is, Bill, what is the specific question? It's your daughter wanting to come back into a relationship, and she wants to do it with a therapist, and you're a little bit anxious about that. Is that right?
Yeah, I just wasn't sure how to handle that.
Okay. Well, you call the right place, yeah. You know.
I know. It's incredible. Like, well, I spoke to you guys 20 years ago or so about this.
Well, let's start with Mylon. I've got a couple things I want to say, but I want to hear Mylon and also what Alice has said.
Could we start with Alice?
Okay, let's start with Alice. Alice, what are your thoughts here?
Bill, I could see this information from your daughter being exhilarating and terrifying and paralyzing, just an entire mix of opposing emotions. And if I were you, I would want to try to prepare for it in a couple of different ways. It would be okay to let your daughter know, to ask if you could speak with a therapist, to do some prep work beforehand if it is too overwhelming to imagine going into the session with your daughter and the therapist. You might ask for some information about it. if you go in blind, it can be so overwhelming that it could be potentially destructive, depending on how stable you feel with yourself and how much of your work you've done on the loss of your wife and the rejection by your daughters. So it would be okay to do preparation work and even to agree to do this in a little bit of time so that you can strategize, what am I going to do and how am I going to handle this session with my daughter?
Yeah. What do you think about that?
That is really wise. I'm sorry. You were talking not to me there.
Well, I was just saying to Bill, what do you think about that? Talking to the therapist beforehand.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't have one, but
hers. You know,
I might be able to get something through the VA medical care.
Well, here's the thought. I would want to talk with her therapist before the two of you talk with her therapist, and then you would feel more at ease when you did talk with the therapist with her in the room. See what I mean?
Well, she's acting and modeling, so she's real caught up in Hollywood, lives out in L.A., and she wants to come back here to Cincinnati and visit her two sisters and sit down with me, but, you know, of course, with my therapist. Talk on the phone, she wants a therapist, like my therapist there, I don't have one.
Oh, she wants you to find a therapist so that she can meet with you and that other person.
She assumed that I had one. She said, well, I'll sit down with you and your therapist and we can talk, or I'll talk to you on the phone with your therapist present. But all I talk to is a VA chaplain. I'm a veteran with PTSD, so I talk to a VA chaplain.
So then, Bill, we would recommend finding a therapist as soon as possible and do the preparation work to then later invite her in. And I would ask the therapist, help me think and talk through the best and worst case scenarios and role play them. If my daughter comes charging in with accusations, how should I handle that? If she's happy to be in relationship with me, how should I handle that? So that you can play these conversations out and be better prepared then to face that with her.
Yeah, but above all, you need to let her know, I want to do this. I'm going to set it up and let her know that you're looking forward to it and that you hope some really good new understanding of each other and connection comes from it. Let me ask you a quick question, though. Have you ever done anything about this affair situation and the lust that led to those affairs?
Not professionally. No, I've just spoken to chaplains and a pastor here and there, but now I'm pretty much disconnected. I got out of the Army in 2015, but I still have that chaplaincy access, and I can have access to also a therapist there. I've just dealt with prayer and scripture.
Yeah. And has that proved successful for you?
Yeah, it has. The more I focus on praying for my daughters and my wife is my eternal love.
Okay. Well, let me give you a scholarship to our online Every Man's Battle this weekend, because I think in this meeting with your daughter, if you were able to say, I actually went to a thing called Every Man's Battle because I know that the affairs were so detrimental, hurtful, I wanted to do something to be sure that I, in honor of her, did everything I could do to get better and not ever cause any more damage for that. So I want you to go to that. I'll send you an Every Man's Bible. Mylon, anything you want to add to what we've said here?
Yeah, Bill. Usually people with addictions don't do relationships well because they're very focused on their addiction. So entering into relationship with your daughters this one daughter is going to be a very new thing for you, and you're going to find yourself in a very uncertain ground or tentative, and I don't blame you. How much shame do you feel about all of this? Where's your shame levels on the inside about all
overwhelming.
Of
this? Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Okay.
I so much to the point that I
I know that I was victimized as a child, as an innocent child, not from a Christian family, and no one in my family realizes the devastation that this victimization caused me, you know, growing up with my brother's pornography for 10 years, from 8 or 9 years old until I was 18. I never purchased pornography. I was never addicted to pornography, but I did not have a proper idea of women and female relationships, of course.
Okay.
But that followed me into my faith when I got born again in 78.
Yeah.
And into my marriage. That never went away. When you have a broken arm and you become born again, you still have a broken arm.
That's what needs treatment beyond prayer and Bible study.
So, and I'm going to say this very respectfully because I have a good friend that was a chaplain in the Army, and I highly respect their work. But a chaplain is not a therapist. And it's really important for you to find a great therapist. And I think if you were able to tell your daughter eventually in that counseling office, I really started off in a bad place as a child. I was victimized by all this pornography. And it really had a powerful influence upon me that I deeply regret. So you're going to want to share that part of yourself with your therapist, of course, a chaplain also, and then with your daughter, just to let her know where you've come from. And my heart goes out to you, Bill, but I really respect that this is scary. And I think everything Alice and Steve have already said, I completely endorse. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to give you a scholarship to Every Man's Battle here this weekend. I'll send you Every Man's Bible. I hope that this could really help you with all the guilt, shame, and another thing that would make this meeting a better meeting. I hope this has been helpful to you. Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio, and Larry, we've got a cruise coming up in October. They had all these vaccine restrictions they've listed. I want to be sure people know about that because our trips are pretty special. And Mylan is going, and that's the pretty part, and special all the people that come. So,
yeah. No, you're the special part, Steve.
Yeah, there you go.
But thanks for saying I'm the pretty part. It's 73 years old.
I mean, least I could do. Anyway, go ahead, Larry. What do you have for us today?
And Larry's pretty too, right, Steve?
Okay, moving right along here. We've got, guys, you have one day to sign up for this workshop, Every Man's Battle Online. And that's by noon central tomorrow. We have to have your registered because on Friday morning Friday afternoon we have to send everything out to you and we have to know who you are. Let me read what somebody just wrote to us who had been previously. I came here excited and very optimistic and then was challenged in my group setting to be open, transparent, and vulnerable while moving my strong mask. My emotions then changed throughout the weekend from excitement to fear, worry, and brokenness, while then being built back up to hope, courage, breakthrough, forgiveness, healing, and restoration. I leave today excited and optimistic while being equipped for the battle. So guys, come to this. Nothing is always easy and just carefree. You're going to come, you're going to feel some pain, some challenges. You will not feel any shame from any of us. But come to this workshop, it'll make a difference. And thank you everybody who has supported New Life and continues to support New Life. We appreciate that, and we're just grateful for who you are and that you're doing that.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Come join us. It's going to be a really, really powerful weekend. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we are there. This is why we're here. We've mentioned Every Man's Battle this weekend. Also, we have other online workshops in August here. We usually do it in August to have these virtual. And we've got Courageous Parenting, August 13th. It's about restoring those relationships with adult children. Emotional Freedom is August the 20th, and then September 24th, Repurposed Life Online. It can really change everything, but all you have to do is call us, and we will take it from there. I'm not going to get to all these calls. I'm so sad that we're not going to do that. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk with, I'm going to talk with Lee from Washington, D.C., listens online. Hi, Lee, and so sorry for the others that I couldn't get to you. How can we help today, Lee?
Hi, thank you for being available and doing this for so many people.
You're welcome.
We have a 40-year-old son who is still living at home. He has never moved out. He just seems like he's stuck and cannot move forward with his life. A few years back, he went to a counselor through a series of events. The counselor told him, in his opinion, he had Asperger's. And since our son divulged that to us, we talked to the counselor, and the counselor told us that he felt that our son may never be able to live on his own.
Well, it's really interesting, you know, because some of the most productive people I know have Asperger's. I don't know what kind of or how severe or whatever, but that's a tough diagnosis. And beyond that, there are situations where a person becomes so dependent for so long, it takes some pretty serious help to get them out of the house and to independence. What's the question for us? Because we don't have a lot of time. We really do want to help you here.
We as parents don't have the resources, don't have the wisdom to know how to help him. We want to help him mm-hmm. to be independent, but we don't know where to start. We don't know what to do. We need a jumping off point. We need help.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say this. In Washington, D.C., in the Washington, D.C. area, there are so many resources that you can find that you couldn't find in other parts of the country. And so that's going to be the first thing, is to go online, Asperger's, and look at every single entry. And you may need to call every single entry there until you find someone that specializes in Asperger's and developing independence, or his case might be that he cannot be independent, and then there's a different kind of help there. Alice, Mylan, what are you guys thinking here?
Well, Lee, I would also want to request family therapy from the specialist that you find specializing mm-hmm. in Asperger's, so that you can get coaching as parents of how much do we push our son versus how much do we comfort and support, because you need the right combination of ingredients to be able to get someone unstuck. And even if he can't live on his own, there probably are areas in which it'd be good for him to be stretched and pushed and have higher requirements made of him. Just in general, in parenting, we find that when there's a combination of very high expectations but also very high level of warmth in parenting, those children do the best. When there's too much warmth and the expectations are too low, it's a permissive style of parenting, there can be a good attachment but low performance in children. And on the other end, if there's a high authority level, high expectations, but low warmth, children tend to pull away and there's a lack of safety in the home. And a specialist could help you find that right balance with your son's particular needs.
Mylan, a thought here on the boy.
The man?
The man, yeah.
Mm-hmm, the 40-year-old. Lee, how long did your son see this therapist?
Not very long, and so I'm wondering if it's a correct diagnosis or not.
Well, that's my exact point. That's my exact point. I have seen people who are very introverted and also who are emotionally avoidant and numerous other things, and then quote-unquote branded with this diagnosis. And I've encountered that a lot where people come in and say, well, I have bipolar. And I go, well, who told you that? And they go, well, some guy I talked to 20 years ago. Or I have Asperger's. And, well, who told you that? Somebody I talked to three times. I think we really have to not hang on a diagnosis until we're very sure and a person of more than one person agrees with that diagnosis.
Yeah.
Because it you know, I love what you said earlier, Steve, when you said, look, you can be dependent so long that you don't know how to think outside of the basement where he lives. You don't know how to think outside of that. So I would really encourage you to do everything that has been said by Alice and Steve, but I really want to challenge that. And it's really sad that your son now has something to say, therefore I can't. You see, I have a problem, so I can't venture out. And I really want to question that, and I think it's important for you guys as a family to do that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I don't think he's accepted the diagnosis, but he's still stuck, and I don't know if it's something that happened in his past or if that's just the way he's.
Lee, there are at least three areas to check on when a child is stuck, and one is addictive behavior, whether that's addiction to substance use or screen addiction. But we also want to look at emotional intelligence and how well he copes with difficult emotions. And then again, our parenting style and what have we done that has perhaps hindered and what have we done that has helped. And those three areas help us determine why is this person stuck and what can we do about it.
What does he do all day, by the way? What does he do all day?
He has a full-time job.
Oh, that's great.
That is.
I didn't know that. We didn't. Yeah. You just said he's stuck, I got this picture in my head that he doesn't have a full-time job.
Mentally and emotionally, I feel like he's stuck, but he cannot move forward. I mean, he's always coming up with these great ideas of, you know, I could do this, and I could do that, and I could do, you know, to have a career, and but he never pulls the trigger on it. He can never move forward.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad that he has a job. I think the greatest thing you can do, as I said, is start searching for resources. There are people that have little classes in the evening or seminars online, all sorts of things that you could encourage him to do that one day maybe he's independent, or things that help him accept the reality and not be miserable in living in it. I'm really glad that you called, and let me send you a copy of How We Love for you seeing how everything's working relationally between all of you guys, and then I'll send you Every Man's Bible also for him. Hope it will be helpful. You're listening to New Life Live. If you can help us, we'll send you your choice, either Understanding and Loving Your Child as a Single Parent or Understanding and Loving Your Bonus Child. Not too late to sign up for Every Man's Battle this weekend online. Don't forget this: when you trust in the Lord with all your heart and you don't lean on your own understanding, you've got a really good chance that life is going to be better for you. Thanks for joining us. If you need help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.